Corinthians chapter 3, there we go. Looking at a passage that talked about how God transforms us into His image as we look at Jesus Christ and His glory in the Word of God. We made the point last week that you cannot change yourself. You cannot change yourself. Someone else has to do that for you. This is why legalistic religion, works righteousness religion, never works, because you can't affect a heart change. Something supernatural has to take place. And God uses His Word to bring us to faith and then to transform us. Today I want to look at a truth that is just as true as what we looked at last week, and there's no contradiction, but we might call it the balance. Some of you might have walked away thinking, wow, I don't have any responsibility if I can't change myself. I want to start this morning in the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter, please. 2 Peter. While it is true that you cannot change yourself, you are responsible to see that you are changed. While it is true that you cannot change yourself, you as a Christian are responsible to see that growth takes place. So how do those two work together? 2 Peter chapter 3, I want to point you to the very last verse of the entire book, chapter 3 and verse 18. And warning against falling prey to false teachers and their false doctrines, Peter closes this little letter by saying, "Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And it's a command. He tells every believer, you are responsible to grow in grace. Look back at chapter 1. Chapter 1 of the same book. In verse 3, he says, "Seeing that His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and virtue. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in the world by lust." And now verse 5. "Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply or add moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness." Verse 7, "And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Did you notice there in verse 5 what I wanted to emphasize? He says, add to your faith or supply these things. And then he lists all these character qualities. We would call them fruit of the Spirit. He says, add these to your faith. You are responsible to see that these are added to your faith. Now, how can a plant be told to grow? Grow in grace, he says. How can we tell a plant to grow? If I could describe it this way, you are responsible as a believer. You are responsible to put yourself in the right kind of environment so that God will grow you. I'm not responsible to change myself, but I am responsible to see that I'm changed. And that means I have to put myself in the place, the right environment, with the factors the right way so that I will grow. I have to expose myself to the influence that would stimulate spiritual growth in my life, and I'm responsible to remove those influences that would choke out this growth. I have to get the weeds out of the way, so that I'm ready for God to change me and transform me. Now, all of this is by His grace. I'm not saying one part is our doing and one part is God's doing. All of it is enabled by God's grace. So we can't take credit for any of it. But God doesn't usually do for us what He asks us to do. He very rarely forces obedience. And a forced obedience, I'm not sure, is an obedience at all. Remove the influences that would choke out growth and expose yourself to the influences that would stimulate growth. So God does it, but we're responsible to create the right environment for growth. Of course, one of the most basic ways is what you're doing here this morning. You're putting yourself under God's Word because you want to grow. Fellowshipping with good friends, the iron sharpening iron. You're putting yourself in the place where God can change you and grow you. And through your own personal Bible study, you're putting yourself in the environment like a plant so that it can flourish as the other factors work on it and cause the growth. I can't make a plant grow, but I can weed the garden, I can fertilize it, and I can put it in a place where the sunlight's going to shine on it. So it is. We expose ourselves to the influences that will stimulate this growth, and then we choose to obey. So we're not passive in this process. We're not sitting back and just waiting for God to do something. We use the means that God has given us, that He has promised to use to transform us. You cannot change yourself, but you are responsible, and I am responsible to be changed. What does this change look like? Well, He describes it here in these verses as moral excellence, exemplary Christian behavior. Knowledge of Jesus, He says, self-control, the ability to say no to temptation and to discipline yourself to be godly. The ability to persevere also, the character to persevere in difficult times. Godliness, which is really living in the fear of God. He says, you're responsible to see that you live in the fear of God. You're responsible to add to your faith brotherly kindness and love in your relationships. I'm responsible to make sure that I put myself in an environment where this kind of growth and transformation takes place. So how do we do that? Well, we listed church, friends, Bible study. But I want to zero in on Bible study this morning because all of us as believers know we should, but we often do so little with Bible study. If I were to query each of you on the way out the door, and I'm not going to do this today, but if I were to query you, should you read your Bible regularly? Should you study the Bible for yourself? Every one of you would say yes. But knowing what to do and actually doing it sometimes don't connect in our experience. So I want to zero in on some practical ways to help you in Bible study. First of all, as we've seen the last couple weeks, it's got to start with a hunger and a thirst for righteousness. So number one, ask God to give you a longing for His Word. You say, Pastor Michael, you know, I don't know of any sin in my life that would be making my intimacy with God more difficult, but the hunger's just not there. Here's what I'd suggest you do. You start with asking God, God, would you first give me a hunger for your word? Matthew 5, verse 7, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Why? Because they'll be filled. And if you get this hunger for the Word of God, then I know you'll be filled because you'll pursue it. So ask God to give you a longing for His Word. Flip back a couple pages to 1 Peter chapter 2. Probably a verse, if you've been saved for some time, probably a verse that you learned in Sunday school as a kid. 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, therefore, putting aside all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and slander. So he's talking about character transformation again. Put all these things off, and he says, you got to get rid of those things because those will sap your love and your longing for the Word of God. Look at verse 2. He says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the Word, so that by it you may grow in salvation, if you have tasted the kindness of the Lord. So we have to ask ourselves, have I tasted the kindness of the Lord? If I'm a believer, I sure have. So if I've tasted the kindness of the Lord, then he says, there's something you need to do. You need to long for the sincere milk of the Word, the pure milk of the Word. Now, he's not saying to stay like babies, to stay immature in the faith. That's not his point here. What he's saying is he's comparing the appetite of a baby to the appetite that we should have for the Word of God. The kind of longing that we should have for the Word of God is parallel to what a baby has for milk. And for those of you that have had kids or babysit kids, you know that appetite is voracious. You put them to bed, and 1 hour later, they're waking up hungry. And you're thinking, how can you possibly be hungry? The mom's half asleep and the baby's hungry. And so you feed it and you put it to bed, and 2 hours later it's waking up screaming again like you're killing it. It's hungry again. How does this happen? Babies long for milk. And I'm not saying you have to get up in the middle of the night every 2 hours to read your Bible. That's not what I'm saying. But there ought to be an appetite for the Word of God in your life. Hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Hungering and thirsting for God. Don't stay like a baby. Grow to maturity by having the appetite of a baby and wanting to eat and wanting to eat and wanting to eat. So first of all, ask God to give you a longing for His Word. We tried to mention some of the common objections to why people don't spend time in Bible study. Ellen came up to me a couple weeks ago and she added another one that I failed to mention. But some people doubt the truthfulness of God's Word. And you know, if you're doubting the truthfulness of God's Word, you're not going to be very motivated to spend time in it. And I'll probably try and address this in a week or two. But there are very reasonable explanations that demonstrate the truthfulness of God's Word. Some don't know how. I don't have a plan. I have no idea where to start. I've tried it before and I got lost. But probably for most of us, many of us, our main reason we don't spend time in Bible study is we don't think we have time. We don't think we have time. Today we're going to have a little bit of an unusual sermon. It's going to be a tag team sermon. I'm going to go and tag Pastor Bob, and he'll come into the ring. And he's going to take a few minutes here and share how God used His Word to change his life. And then he'll tag me and I'll come back and finish you off. All right? So Pastor Bob, come ahead, please.
Rememorized the book of Romans three different times because I memorized it and then I let it go because I was working on something else, and then I'd come back to Romans, oh, that's all foggy. So I take the time to redo it, and that happened three times, but it's a wonderful thing. God bless you as you ponder. You're it.
Some of you are thinking, I could never do that. And frankly, I don't think God is probably calling you, most of you, to do that. But what He is calling all of us to do is to be diligent to show ourselves approved unto God, accurately, rightly dividing, accurately cutting the word of truth. Appreciate Pastor Bob's heart in sharing that. I wanted him to share that because it demonstrates, one, he prioritized God's Word, and what did God do with His Word? God changed his life through His Word. And you may not adopt the same method. You may not get up at 4:30. Nobody's suggesting you do anything that would be harmful to your health. But what we are exhorting you from God's Word is to love God's Word and to give God time to change you. So how do you do that? Well, for Pastor Bob, the best time of day was the morning. I encourage people, give God the best time of your day. Now, for some of you, that's morning. For some of you, that's midday. For some of you, that's evening. Some of you are in a semi-comatose state all day, so I don't know where, what you're going to do. But find the time that you are most engaged, your mind is most alert, you can be most locked into what's going on, and give God that time. Some of you aren't having personal devotions at all. It may be starting with, I personally don't like setting length of time, but start with God's Word. You can get a Bible reading plan. We have a Bible reading plan if you need a plan that'll take you through the whole Bible in a year. That's helpful to expose yourself to all of God's Word. You say, well, the year, I feel like I'm too rushed. That's fine. Spread it out over 2 years. Spread it out over 3 years. This is not anything mechanical. The method is not the key. It's the heart attitude before God. So read through the Bible in a year. Maybe decide I'm going to read through the New Testament this year. Or I'm going to read through the Old Testament this year. Or maybe I'm going to take a book and I'm just going to devote myself to that book for a month or for however long it takes me. And I'm just going to study and I'm going to learn. I'm going to come back through. Maybe you're going to take a particular concept like grace that we sang about this morning. And you go, you get a concordance or you have an online Bible program. And you find the references that are pertinent and you take 2 or 3 weeks and you just study out. You go through passage to passage. What is God teaching about grace? Is there a grace in salvation? Is grace identical after salvation? Asking all these kinds of things. Or taking a particular doctrine. The doctrine of salvation. Or the doctrine of sin. What does the Bible teach about sin? And what you're going to find as you do this, as you're studying to grow in your own faith and knowing God, is you're going to be picking up things and then you're going to be talking to a coworker and all of a sudden a verse is going to pop out and you say, where did that come? Oh yeah, I was just studying about sin. Maybe you take a character. Maybe you take the life of Ruth and study that out for a week. Maybe you take the life of Joseph in Genesis 37 to 50. I mean, really, the possibilities, the creative possibilities are endless for somebody who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. I personally like to mix reading in with in-depth study so that it's not just surfacey all the time where you're getting exposed to large portions of Scripture, but you're actually taking time to dig in and search for it as for hidden treasure. I personally like a mix of in-depth study and reading. So, we said, first of all, ask God to give you a longing for His Word. Second, find time to spend time in God's Word, or make time to spend time in God's Word. Some of you are privileged with more time than others. Some of you retired folks can devote more time. That's a wonderful privilege. And to whom much is given, much is expected. I'm not saying this has to be uniform throughout the congregation. You're at different stages of life. Some of you have lots of children, and some of you moms are thinking, I don't even have time to brush my teeth in a day, hardly. How can I even get 15 or 30 minutes to spend time in God's Word? Sometimes it involves cutting out unessential time. I'm not going to say wasters because they're not always wasteful, but I don't have to do this today. So it could be that somebody comes along and says, I'm trying to find time for Bible study, and there are certain things that, you know, I can't give up. Kids are not unnecessary. I can't cut them out. We're talking about unnecessary things. Most of the time, I can't cut out eating. I can't cut out caring for my health. But what can I cut out? Well, maybe you say, well, I'm not going to spend time on Facebook until I spend time in God's Word. Or I'm not going to watch the hockey game until I've spent time in God's Word. And you find things to cut out that are nice but not essential. But this means that you've got to come to the conclusion in your spiritual life that knowing God through His Word is essential. So give God the best time of your day. Set aside unnecessary distractions that keep you from His Word. Secondly, find time to spend time in God's Word. And then number three, I'll ask you to turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Maybe there's some of you that you're reading your Bible a few times a week, and for you, the next spiritual step would be to read the Bible more frequently. 5 days a week is better than three if you're doing it for the right reasons. This is basically what I'm encouraging you to do. Wherever you are, from not spending time in God's Word at all to spending time in God's Word several times a week in short amounts of time, I'm encouraging you, by God's grace, if you want to grow, take that next spiritual step. What's that next spiritual step that God wants you to take in order to grow in knowing and loving Him? So as you start your quiet time with the Lord, you might pray a prayer. Many prayers you could find in Scripture that address this, but how about verses 33 and 34 of Psalm 119? This would be a great place to start. As you open up your Bible, you pause to pray and you say, Lord, teach me the way of your statutes and I will keep it to the end. Give me understanding that I may observe your law and keep it with all my heart. The psalmist here captures the importance of Bible study as not pumping information into your brain, but helping you to know a person through life change. The goal of all Bible study is to know God and to be changed to be more like Him. Some of you may be thinking here this morning, Pastor Michael, this is really basic stuff that you're sharing with this morning, and I understand that. But I'm preaching to folks that range from age 3 up to the 80s. So not every message is going to be geared to somebody who's been saved for 30 years. But I would challenge you, if you say, Pastor Michael, I'm already spending time in Bible study, this is very simple stuff, that's wonderful. The question for you is not how much Bible do you know, the question is how much Bible do you obey? Not how much Bible do you know, how much Bible do you obey? And I would have to raise my hand and say, I know a lot more Bible than I obey sometimes. So wherever you're at in this spectrum, there's something here for you today. Number three, ask God to help you to understand His Word so that you can obey it, so that you can put it into practice. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, knowledge puffs up. And even in acquiring Bible facts, it can make us arrogant to the point that we think, well, I know this, you know, this is such basic stuff, tell me something I don't know. And God is saying, knowledge can puff up, but love edifies. It edifies other people. And if I really love God, then I'm going to be going to His Word, trying to find ways so that I can know Him and be changed to be like Him. So how does that happen? Number four, not only ask God to help you to understand the Word, then number four, accurately interpret the Word of God. Accurately interpret the Word of God. I'm going to leave off there this morning because that's really something that needs a little bit of time to develop. And so next week, we're going to come back to how to interpret God's Word and how to practically apply it to each of our lives. So would you bow your heads, please? Simple question this morning as we honor the Lord by seeking to respond in obedience to what He has taught us through His Word. This is part of our worship time as we commit to obey what He's laid out for us in His Word. But do you make time in your busy schedules, and I understand they're busy, you make time in your busy schedule to know God through His Word? Say, yes, I do. Well, maybe now it's time to start memorizing. You're studying, now it's time to put it to memory. Maybe it's a verse a week, and you work from there. Maybe you're memorizing, but you're not really meditating on it. So you've studied, you memorized, now it's time to take that next step of meditating on it, thinking about it, finding ways to have it circling through your brain during the day. This is what God uses to change us. This is the primary way He changes us. So we study it, we read it, we memorize it, and we meditate on it, and then we obey it. And what happens? We're putting ourselves in the place so God changes us. You respond to God. Or we recognize that all of this will be through your grace. Paul said, I labored, yet not I, the grace of God that was working in me. Lord, we need your grace working mightily in us, even to want to read your word, to have the desire to do it, and then to do it. That's Philippians 2:13 says. So give us this desire. Give us thirsty hearts. And then satisfy our hearts as we see the Lord Jesus in the word. Lord, change lives, just like you did Pastor Bob's life through your word. Change us to be like you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.